Our gospel lesson comes from the book of John, chapter 13. Let us stand in honor of these words from and concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress. The devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands, my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. And now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I've set you an example. You should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them." When Judas was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And just as I have told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples. If you love one another." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Amen. You may be seated. If you'd like to hear about life after dark, that will actually be the theme of Sunday's sermon. Apologies for the error. Tonight, let us reflect on the end of everything. Would you pray with me? Father, whether because of my words or in spite of them, may your word be spoken this evening. Whether we come with willing ears or stubborn ones, help us to hear. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Everything ends badly. Otherwise, it wouldn't end. That's not scripture, of course. It's not the wisdom of the apostles or even the ancient church fathers and mothers. No, it's a line that Haywood Gould wrote for Tom Cruise to say in the 1988 film Cocktail. Everything ends badly. Otherwise, it wouldn't end. But as frivolous as the origin, though it may not be scripture, it sure can feel like gospel truth sometimes. It sure feels like good things are easily lost, while the lost things are not so easily recovered. Once lost, good things feel like they are gone forever. Our health can fail so much more quickly than it can be built up. A relationship can be lost with a single word or a single tragedy. Some of us here live in old, old homes that have stood for generations. We know that nothing fixed in them is ever fixed forever. And even if we build something good out of the most permanent things we can imagine, even when we build with concrete and brick on a solid foundation, we of all people know, it could be blown away. And what the hurricanes don't claim, entropy will. Moth and rust and mold, mildew, I so easily destroy. And when something ends, it feels like it ends forever. On that Thursday night, 2,000 years ago, the disciples had a sneaking suspicion that the end was near. They knew Jesus had enemies. They knew those enemies had powerful friends. When Jesus made the decision to go to Jerusalem, one of the disciples, Thomas, said to all the others, "Well, let's go with him so that we may die alongside him." And just 5 days before what we have just read, while they were still on the outskirts of town, one of their friends, a woman named Mary, had done the strangest thing. She poured out an entire bottle of perfume on Jesus' feet. It was an outrageous thing to do, way over the top. It made the room so fragrant that it must have been suffocating. The perfume was so expensive that the money could have fed a family for an entire year. But when the disciples started to complain, Jesus said, "She's anointing me for my burial." You will always have the poor among you and many mouths to feed, but you will not always have me with you. John's gospel says that's when Judas first realized that the party was coming to an end. And that's when Judas began to think it would be better to betray Jesus than to end up like him. And now, just a few days later, Jesus has gathered all the disciples for a last supper. They didn't call it that, of course. They didn't know for sure which meal would be the last one, but they knew there could not be many more ahead. Jesus was talking about going somewhere they could not follow. And a little bit after the part that we've just read, Peter will say to Jesus, "Why can't we follow you? I would lay down my life for you." But Jesus knew better. He knew, and he said so. He said, "Peter, you will disown me, not once, but three times before this night has ended." And when we know that fact, when we know how it all ends, when we know how Judas and Peter started following Jesus and how they ended up, when we know how all the disciples will end up running away and leaving Jesus in the hands of his enemies, and when we think of all the losses that we have known, and all the seasons that have changed, and all the tragedies with all their stunning finality, we may well find ourselves believing that everything ends badly, otherwise it wouldn't end. But again, that's not Scripture. And from the very beginning, Scripture tells us there is more to the story. I wonder if you heard it. It was there in the very first lines of the gospel tonight. Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world, and having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He loved them. He loved them to the end. Jesus knew how it would end. And he made sure that love got the last word. He knelt down and he washed their feet. The feet that would run away. Minutes later. He spoke words of comfort to them. He prayed with them, and he gave them a new commandment that opened an entirely new world for them. He loved them to the end, and then he said, "Love one another. As I have loved you, love one another." By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. In every word and in every action, love was the end for Jesus. It was the point. Jesus said that love was the end of all the law and the prophets. All the commandments and all the rules could be summed up in two simple points. Love God, love one another. That's the point. That's the end goal of everything. And that's the end of our story. In the end, we will be known as God's beloved because we can love one another. That's the point. That's the end game. That's what we get out of it. To love as we have been loved. We can love to the very end because Jesus loved them and Jesus loves us to the very end. When we are at the end of all our words and we don't know what to say, we still can love one another. When we've reached the end of our rope, we can love one another. When it seems as though the world is ending, when it seems as though the losses are more permanent than the victories, Jesus insists that love wins out in the end. And he tells the disciples where to start when it feels like everything's ending. Love one another. When we don't know where to start, we start with this. Love someone. Find a way to love them. Wash their feet. Stay by their side. Keep watch and add your cries to their own while they pray through the night. Love one another. Love one another to the end as Christ loves us. And if you make love your end, you will discover the most remarkable thing. You'll discover that love remains. You'll discover God's power. Take even the smallest act of love and store it up in eternity as though it was a treasure in heaven, so that no truly good thing is ever truly lost. You'll discover that the smallest goodness in the world outweighs all the trouble of this world because the goodness will outlast it. No matter how heavy the weight, one day it will disappear like so much vapor, and the love will remain. And the smallest act of love will remain forever and forever and forever. What seems so permanent now will simply disappear and be replaced by an eternal weight of glory. And when you know that, then you can believe. Though when the whole world has forgotten your name, your loving Savior will remember, and he will lovingly call you by name. He will raise you up lovingly to a new and everlasting body. He will make you shine with the glory of a love that has no end. Christ loves us to the very end, and so we know that at the end of everything, we will find love waiting. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.